Welcome to today's podcast, 365 Bible Study. May God bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up His countenance on you and smile on you. Keep you safe for today. In Jesus' mighty name. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Anna. Let's go ahead and get our meeting started. Reading for 27th of October, Jeremiah 51 to verse 53. I believe maybe that's the last chapter of Jeremiah.
It seems like a long
Jeremiah.
Long chapter in
Jeremiah. No, it keeps going. This is what the Lord says. I will stir up a destroyer against Babylon and the people of Babylonia. Foreigners will come and winnow her, blowing away as chaff. They will come from every side to rise against her in the day of trouble. Don't let the archers put on their armor or draw their bows. Don't spare even her best soldiers. Let her army be completely destroyed. They will fall dead in the land of the Babylonians, slashed to death in her streets. For the Lord of heaven's armies has not abandoned Israel and Judah. He is still their God, even though their lands were filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee from Babylon. Save yourself. Don't get trapped in her punishment. It is the Lord's time for vengeance. He will repay her in full. Babylon has been a gold cup in the Lord's hand, a cup that made the whole earth drunk. The nations drank Babylon's wine, and it drove them all mad. But suddenly Babylon too has fallen. Weep for her. Give her medicine. Perhaps she can yet be healed. We would have helped her if we could, but nothing can save her now. Let her go. Abandon her. Return now to your own land. For her punishment reaches to the heavens, and so it is so great it cannot be measured. The Lord has vindicated us. Come, let us announce in Jerusalem everything the Lord our God has done. Sharpen the arrows, lift up the shields, for the Lord has inspired the kings of the Medes to march against Babylon and destroy her. This is his vengeance against those who desecrate his temple. Raise the battle flag against Babylon, reinforce the guard, and station the watchmen. Prepare an ambush, for the Lord will fulfill all his plans against Babylon. You are a city by a great river, a great center of commerce, but your end has come. The threads of your life is cut. The Lord of heaven's armies has taken this vow and has sworn to it by his own name. Your cities will be filled with enemies, like fields swarming like locusts, and they will shout in triumph over you. The Lord made the earth by his power, and he preserves it by his wisdom. With his own understanding, he stretches out the heavens. When he speaks in the thunder, the heavens are filled with water. He causes the clouds to rise over the earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and releases the winds from his storehouses. The whole human race is foolish and has no knowledge. The craftsmen are disgraced by the idols they make, for their carefully sharp works are a fraud. These idols have no breath or power. Idols are worthless. They are ridiculous lies. On the day of reckoning, they will all be destroyed. But the God of Israel is not an idol. He is the creator of everything that exists, including his people, his own special possession. The Lord of heaven's army is his name. You are my battle axe and sword, says the Lord. With you I will shatter nations and destroy many kingdoms. With you I will shatter armies, destroying the horse and rider, the chariot and the charioteer. With you I will shatter men and women, old people and children, young men and maidens. With you I will shatter shepherds and flocks, farmers and oxen, captains and officers. I will repay Babylon and the people of Babylonia for all the wrong they have done to my people in Jerusalem, says the Lord. Look, a mighty mountain, destroyer of the earth, I am your enemy, says the Lord. I will raise my fist against you to knock you down from the heights. When I am finished, you will be nothing but a heap of burnt rubble. You will be desolate forever. Even your stones will never again be used for rebuilding. You will be completely wiped out, says the Lord. Raise a signal flag to the nations. Sound the battle cry. Mobilize them all against Babylon. Prepare them to fight against her. Bring out the armies of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a commander and bring a multitude of horses like swarming locusts. Bring against her the armies of the nations, led by the kings of the Medes and all their captains and officers. The earth trembles and writhes in pain, for everything the Lord has planned against Babylon stands unchanged. Babylon will be left desolated without a single inhabitant. Her mightiest warriors no longer fight. They stay in the barracks, their courage gone. They have become like women. The invaders have burned the houses and broken down the city gates. The news is passed from one runner to the next, as the messengers hurry to tell the king that his city had been captured. All the escape routes are blocked. The marshes have been set aflame, and the army is in panic. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Babylon is like wheat on a threshing floor, about to be trampled. In just a little while, her harvest will begin. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has eaten and crushed us and drained us of strength. He has swallowed us like a great monster and filled his belly with our riches. He has thrown us out of our own country. Make Babylon suffer as she made us suffer, say the people of Zion. Make the people of Babylon pay for spilling our blood, says Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to Jerusalem. I will be your lawyer to plead your case, and I will avenge you. I will dry up her river as well as her springs, and Babylon will become a heap of ruins haunted by jackals. She will be an object of horror and contempt, a place where no one lives. Her people will roar together like strong lions. They will grow like lion cubs. And while they lie in flame with all their wine, I will prepare a different kind of feast for them. I will make them drink until they fall asleep, and they will never wake up again, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams and goats to be sacrificed. How Babylon is fallen, great Babylon, praised throughout the earth. Now she has become an object of horror among the nations. The sea has risen over Babylon. She is covered by its crashing waves. Her cities now lie in ruins. She is a dry wasteland where no one lives or even passes by. And I will punish Bel, the god of Babylon, and make him vomit up all he has eaten. The nations will no longer come and worship him. The wall of Babylon has fallen. Come out, my people. Flee from Babylon. Save yourself. Run from the Lord's fierce anger. But do not panic. Don't be afraid when you hear the first rumor of approaching forces, for rumors will keep coming year by year. Violence will erupt in the land as the leaders fight against each other. For the time is surely coming when I will punish this great city and all her idols. Her whole land will be disgraced, and her dead will lie in streets. Then the heavens and earth will rejoice, for out of the north will come destroying armies against Babylon, says the Lord. Just as Babylon killed the people of Israel and others throughout the world, so must her people be killed. Get out, all you who have escaped the sword. Do not stand and watch. Flee while you can. Remember the Lord, though you are in a far-off land, and think about your home in Jerusalem. We are ashamed, the people say. We are insulted and disgraced because the Lord's temple has been defiled by foreigners. Yes, says the Lord, but the time is coming when I will destroy Babylon's idols. The groans of her wounded people will be heard throughout the land. Though Babylon reaches as high as the heavens and makes her fortifications incredibly strong, I will still send enemies to plunder her. I, the Lord, has spoken. Wow. I really enjoy just reading some of the things that the Lord says about the beauty and the strength of God You know that He created the earth, the people that are His. Mm-hmm. That the Lord made the earth by His power.
Yep.
This is in Jeremiah 51, 15. The Lord made the earth by His power, and He preserves it by His wisdom. Mm-hmm. We can tap into His wisdom by asking Him, Lord, how to do this? How do we do this, Lord? And His wisdom comes to help us. With His own understanding, He stretches out the heavens. When He speaks in the thunder, the heavens are filled with water. He causes the clouds to rise over the earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and releases the wind from His storehouses. Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to your reading, please.
Yes. No commentary? We know it's all about the idols and all that, huh?
Yeah, it's very self-explanatory.
Okay. All right, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 to 15. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect and live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing to say bad about us. Slaves must always obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. While we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. Amen. Good, good. Yeah, I think what stands out here is leading a life that's wise, even from the old man to the young man to the older woman. Doing it with love and faith and patience. It's our doing of, you know, it says in Ephesians that we're saved by grace, lest any man should boast, but we are created for good works. So the grace, the goodness of grace that Jesus has done for us at the cross means He's already given me that gift of grace and salvation. If I believe by faith that He's my Savior, that doesn't mean I have to earn that. I've got it already because He died on my, it says He died for every kind of sin to cleanse us and make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Now, so that means that He saved us, He's equipping us to do good works, good deeds for others to show who he is, to let Jesus shine through us. So there's a difference between doing good works versus me working for my salvation, which has already been finished. So I got to stay, you know, Jesus will guide me and tell me, go here, go there, you know, do this at the grocery store, help this person or whatever, or just be a servant in the situation. So I think it's just to show, you know, how we must live a good, wise life, you know, loving one another. And it says here in number 11, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we're instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. Okay, we should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look, you know, while we wait for him to come. You know, we don't want to sit around and just wait, well, Jesus is coming back, why am I going to do that? No, he has a destiny for all of us, that he's given us gifts and equipped us and assignments. There are things that we can be doing to shine Jesus' light here on the earth.
Amen, amen. Wholesome teaching.
Yeah, wholesome teaching, yeah. One thing is, you know, there's... while Jesus has forgiven every sin and we're covered by his blood because we're believers, that, you know, people have a misunderstanding that, oh, well, I'm going to be forgiven, so now I can go out and live this different life. No, it's not about that. If you follow, and if you're devoted to God, you're living wisely, you're living righteously, and you're devoted to him, and you want to please him and accomplish what he set you out to do before the foundations of the earth. He's predestined that for you already. So we, you know, grace is a gift to us that Jesus brought for us, that he would forgive us. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, how many of us have missed the mark? I know I have a lot. But, you know, we got to be careful about saying, well, I'm forgiven, so now I'm going to go do bad. No, if you're forgiven, you want to do better because you're, you know, Jesus is leading you. He's not going to steer you to the wrong place. You know, it's our job to obey and listen to him and spend time with him. So we got to be careful about that. And I like what it says here. It says, you must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary. So don't let anyone disregard what you say. So that's interesting.
Amen. Let me read a little bit of the commentary.
Okay.
It says, if you want to teach someone how to live, be sure that you live the way yourself. Then
yes.
You will earn the right to be heard.
Amen.
And you will reinforce what you teach. Integrity is especially important when teaching or confronting others about spiritual or moral issues.
Mm-hmm.
If we are impulsive, unreasonable, and confusing, we are likely to start arguments rather than to convince people of the truth. Learning the Bible, applying its principles to serving others, takes time. We live what we learn. Paul called on older women and men to take a special role in the community, to be role models, teaching others by the way they live. Many of us have experienced the importance of having a godly mentor to encourage us or sponsor. The most helpful recovery groups have a healthy mix of people or Bible studies, which age people who provide encouragement through their words and their actions. As we grow spiritually and progress in this, we can become healthy role models in others' needs of growth as they see our transformed lives and hear our stories of deliverance through Christ. They will be encouraged to take the steps necessary to find restoration and growth themselves. Paul told Titus to encourage the young people in his church to live wisely. Young people are often blind to the consequences of certain activities. They tend to act first and think later. Many of us were very short-sighted when we became involved in our troubles. We probably started out innocently enough, using alcohol or anger or wanting more social status by using credit. We didn't think through the possible consequences before we took the first dangerous steps towards these situations. Now we are reaping the painful consequences of our unwise choices. If we can learn to think before we act and conform our actions to God's will, and ask Him, we will succeed in building a meaningful future. When we realize how much God loves us and that He provided the power for us to live godly lives, we are motivated to entrust our lives to Him and seek His will. The proper response to God's grace is right conduct, like Anna said. The Bible never considers guilt and fear appropriate motivations for righteousness. We obey God because He loves us and desires to help us succeed. Seeing God as accepting, gracious, and compassionate instead of harsh, condemning, and punitive is critical for our spiritual growth. We don't need to fear God because of our sins. He still loves us and will help us rebuild our lives when we admit our failure to Him. This can give us hope as we work through our progress and recovery. Restore, Lord, restore. One of the things that we say against addictions, habits, and stuff we know that's not right, we say, I thank you, Lord, that I am a misfit. I missed the mark. And you say it before missing the mark, during missing the mark, and after missing the mark. You say it so your emotions will be set properly, and you won't go into regret, remorse, or morbid reflection, but you will actually allow God's love to enter your heart by admitting it. Another way of saying it is, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Before the act, during the act, and after the act. You have the willpower to do that, and you have the Holy Spirit as a light that turns on. So you might as well do it. You're going to be, that's called growth. And amen. I am a misfit. Thank you, God. Woohoo. So I said before, so keep God in the forefront of the loaf. All right, let's go ahead and finish up our readings.
Psalms.
I have to go to another meeting. That's why we're moving.
Okay,
forward.
Look at the ways God rules the world with justice and kindness, and thank Him for His power and goodness. Wow, Lord. Yeah, that's a big job. I don't want that job. Father God, we just thank You that You are a God of love, and You are a God of justice, and we thank You for the kindness that You show those who are being, who justice is coming against them, Lord, injustice. Father, we thank You that You make all things right, and we thank You that You're our creator. You created this earth, and that's the way it is, Lord, and you rule and You reign over this country and this nation and over our lives, Lord. Thank You for Your power, Father, and we bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 99, 1 to 9 says, the Lord is King. Let the nations tremble. He sits on the throne between the cherubim. Let the whole earth quake. The Lord sits in His majesty in Jerusalem, exalted above all the nations. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. Your name is holy, mighty King, lover of justice. You have established fairness, and You've acted with justice and righteousness throughout Israel. Exalt the Lord, our God. Bow low before His feet, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among His priests. Samuel also called on His name. They cried to the Lord for help, and He answered them. He spoke to Israel from the pillar of cloud, and they followed the laws and decrees He gave them. O Lord our God, You answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but You punished them when they went wrong. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain in Jerusalem, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 26:17 says, interfering in someone else's argument is as foolish as yanking a dog's ear. Wow. Oh, interesting. Very good. Huh. In Jesus' name.
Amen. May the Lord bless you, family, and thank you for coming on today. Have a great day. See you in our next segment.
Amen.
Amen.